This meeting is being recorded. So, all right. Well, welcome everybody. I know Kelsey's not going to make it today because she had an opportunity to go camping. And so, but we're missing somebody else too. Who are we missing?
Lisa, graduation, right?
Oh, that's right. And she's not going to be here because she's got her family with her. Okay. And I was kind of excited to hear how it went. I do know she did send me, did she say anything to you guys about how it went?
Yeah,
and the WhatsApp thing?
She had one person not coming that threw her for a loop and some other glitches that were she was really struggling with. But she spent some time in her closet. So we went in her closet with her and, you know, hung out with her virtually. but yeah, I think she's doing okay.
Well, she sent me, just so you guys know, I see what's coming through on it,
okay.
But I don't, I'm never going to respond into that app because I want that to be your space where it's just you guys talking to each other. But I'm just careful because last time they had a private page and there were some things that happened that they weren't, it wasn't the right place for it. And so I'm just going to kind of track it now and then, but I'm not going to get involved. It's yours to do. So I did see all that and I texted her privately and she did text me a photo at the end of the day of Logan hugging her and she said it was amazing. So your guys' support meant a lot to her. And, so Lisa, you're going to watch this and you're going to know we were talking about you. We're also so happy for you that you made it through. You made it through and hope that you're having a wonderful time with family today. So, all right. Well, folks, here we are. This is our last class for almost a month, I think it is, right? And April was saying something about like, what do you mean a month? I'm just getting back into it. What? And so I do want to just take the temperature of the group because when I was, you know, when I'm setting up the calendar, what I'm looking at is the reality of class attendance in the past. And by this point in June, even if people signed up for a series, they're not coming, right? And our classes go down from everybody showing up to just one or two or three because it's summer. School just got out. And then we've got 4th of July. And it tends to be a time when some people will just, they get away, right? And so I guess what I'd be curious to know is, how many of you are grateful for the break? You need the break. And how many of you would have been fine to keep going?
I would be fine to keep going, but yeah.
Me too.
Mishka, that's you saying you'd be fine to keep going too? Okay, so there's four of you fine to keep going. Brenda, you're sighing. That's a sign.
Yeah. Well, I agree with both because I am welcoming a few Sundays because I'm going to be traveling and, you know, and as soon as I got that schedule, I was able to go, okay, camping weekend here, you know, and that way minimize how many I would miss. But I also related to what April was saying in that it keeps it very present when we have to check in each week. So yeah, that's why I was kind of like, I don't know how to answer that because I think both.
Okay. Ramond?
Yeah, I mean, to me, I tended to, when I looked at the schedule, I mean, for me, that was the big thing holding me back from ever doing this was kind of the schedule. So, I mean, when I saw that helps, right? Because then I can tell my wife, hey, in June, these are all the dates we have, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I think my plan is for this month is to just put a plan together and say, you know, week one, I'm going to focus on this. Week two, I'm going to focus on this and just continue. Because eventually this class is going to end. So I'm going to have to do that anyway. So I'm going to have to maintain this at some level. So this is just, here's a month. And if I don't, then I know, hey, I got to do it better next time or, you know, I don't know. But I'm not looking forward to the break in terms of, I love the Sundays, but I'm looking forward to as a break to focus on what we've learned so far and kind of, you know, kind of let us settle in a little bit. Because that's the way I learn. I learn. I have to have some time to digest it before I can actually go. So,
okay, all right. How about you, Steve?
I think overall, I think I'm, I think for me, the break is good. So A, I mean, there's certainly other meditation activities going on that are going to keep me engaged. There's plenty to do in terms of homework and stuff. But I think the most important thing, which I think you said maybe when I watched the last class, was, you know, that we need a break. That's what you had said. I'm not speaking for others. And it's a little bit, you know, like I say, there's, as with everybody, there's been so much going on and everything for me. And it's kind of hard to tell how the level of intensity of things for me, how much that has had to do with also doing this class at the same time. And which, of course, you know, I'm like, well, no, why would you say that? I mean, come on. But I wouldn't be surprised.
No, absolutely true.
This is what my brain tells me. It's like, well, it can't be that. But I suspect that maybe doing this class has also contributed for me to, you know, some real high intensity experience and emotions. And so a break could be good for me just to like kind of let things process through things.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Well, and we would have at this point taken at least a 2-week break. I mean, at least a 2-week break anyways, right? Because the digestion process is really, really valuable and important. And there is a point where you need to just not have to do anything. Not have to do anything, right? And just kind of go, whoa, okay. And let it settle. That's really important. Did it need to be this long? Yeah, only because of July 4th, right? So my suggestion then is, you know, you all signed up for the anxiety class. I didn't expect that. But it's actually been a beautiful thing because what that does is everybody in the anxiety, I'm gonna shift it up a little bit. So, cause we can cover stuff for you guys that now we don't have to cover in this class, right? I mean, all of the brain stuff can happen with the anxiety class. And so that was kind of sweet because you didn't have to sign up, right? But so that will be great. But what I'm wondering is, as Steve said, you're all in anxiety. We've got every other Saturday anxiety class, if that works, you know, in your schedule. And if you wanted to, we could tack on a half hour afterwards, 45 minutes afterwards for you guys to just connect. Those of you who are in the class who might have that time. It's not a required thing. It would just be if you have the time. So instead of ending off the half hour, you would end on the hour. We'd go an extra 30 minutes. You guys could just chat with each other, see how you're doing. But it would have to be something. We don't want anybody getting anxiety about FOMO, right? That fear of missing out. It's like FOMO is very intense. That's an intense thing, you know? So Agnieszka, do you know what FOMO is? Okay. All right. So.
Well, Karen, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
The other thing, cause obviously April, I know you and love you dearly. But the other thing I heard and related to in your messaging was this pressure to have a daily practice. And the reason I didn't respond back was because when I had to like figure out what I was going to say, but, I've just had to let go of that. I've had to let go of putting that pressure on myself because it's right now is not the time for me to be stressing about that. And I was just writing a little bit before we started this morning that I think I can feel shifts in different ways throughout my day-to-day life. And this has kind of been my story ever since I started studying with Karen. Like, I don't necessarily do it the way, but I know it's making a positive change. And I know it's making me calmer and more centered. And so I think finding peace in that and letting go of some of that pressure has really helped me.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Brenda. And Laura had commented. And so Laura, I appreciate that so much that, you know, that perspective too of like, sometimes it's just in a moment of your day and that's your moment to like, you know, sound, sensation or, you know, whatever, just bring that in. And, so it's a little of both for me. I am really seeing the impacts on my daily life of like finding equanimity. I can find it much quicker, and I'm not reactive as much as I used to be. And like I'm feeling that, you know, that this shit works. This, that is really happening for me. And I am also, I mean, you hit it on the head, is that I've got a bit of internal pressure that I've put on myself. Like, I want to sit every day. I want to come out here and sit down and go through steps and do my pranayamas. And I really want to do that because I feel the effects of it. So I want to find that routine. And at the same time, I have to show up for my life. So it's finding that balance of letting go of the personal pressure. And I think the anxiety class is actually already like that is a thought. Like, so it's all going to align, and I'm going to find what, I mean, that maybe this is just a perfect opportunity for me to digest, like Ramon said, digest this and find some grooves in there that need filling, in this next, you know, month. So it'll all be great.
I don't know if this interests anybody. I just found this, and maybe it's something we could do together, but this group, this woman, she's in Montreal, but she holds a Zoom thing at 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. every day. And it's just an open space. You do your own meditation, but it's just showing up, right? She gongs and she says, do your breathing for 5 minutes, and gongs again, and then and everybody just takes their pictures down and does their own practice. But it's making me get to my mat and do my practice. So something, if anybody's interested during that time, maybe we could do a Zoom like that. And no pressure. If you can't show up, you can't show up, but you do your own practice and you blank the page out. So I'll just throw that out there.
I like the idea of doing it after anxiety class, actually. Yeah. So it'd be the same kind of thing, like just check in. We could do, you know, we can sit and meditate together if we wanted to, but it's that idea of, I don't know, that feels nice to me. Yeah.
Would that be on Sunday or Saturday?
Saturday. Every other Saturday.
After the anxiety.
Right. Everybody signed up, because I didn't see everybody there, but.
Well, I didn't get the.
Kathleen, you know what happened? It was my email autofilled, and you're usually at the top when, like most of you, if I start to type your name, your email goes in, right? Because there'll be a list of everybody with the name Laura or Brenda or Agnieszka's her own, but you know, everybody else, there's several of you, you know, and you're always at the top, but it took another person. And so it didn't get sent to you because I went in and checked it. So I fixed it now.
I searched I'm like, it happened to me before, right? That it went to my junk, and I was like, okay, it's got to be there. And okay.
Well, I'm really glad you texted Ramon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so I was trying to get on the WhatsApp. I can't figure it out. So then I was going to try to text. Yeah, I had Ramon's number and I couldn't find it. I knew I had April somewhere. Can't, I don't know. Anyway.
Well, that was on me. That was on me. And so, I apologize for that, but we fixed it. And what I'll try and do on our break today is resend you the email with all the links.
Okay.
And everything. Great. Okay. I'm sure I can find it. So.
And Kathleen, yeah. I did confirm you are already in our group for the WhatsApp. So I think it's just a matter of you getting the app
I have the app on there. Maybe I don't want to take up class time.
Yeah.
What if on the break you could on the break you could help Kathleen do that. Okay.
Okay.
So, I want to make sure we touch on what April and Brenda, and I know there are several of you who are in the same boat, right? Struggling but struggling only because you feel you should have a daily meditation practice. Was that a question or was that a me too, Lisa?
Well, I just wanted to add, when I was heavily in the church, they put a lot of shame on you for not having any kind of a daily practice. Mm-hmm. I had 8 kids and I got over that real quick. But with this, I do feel like I should be doing more and I don't find that space. But then my life is so chaotic right now and I'm learning and I'm doing so many changes that it's in the second, like April and Brenda, you guys, it's in the second. It's just happening when I have that customer and I catch myself and I can't get to everything else, but maybe I'm not going to be this teacher at the end, but maybe I'm going to be a better human. And so I'm kind of just letting go of all of that. Otherwise I'd like have every book read. I'd have it all outlined. I'd have an A and then my family would hate me and I'd be at the end and I would be miserable. That's all.
No,
but I mean, we put our pressures on ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's about living. This is how to live differently. And so I don't live in my closet. I can't, I don't have time. So I have to live in the real world. So I'm living. It's like going to war without hitting boot camp first. Just going straight to the war.
Great analogy.
That's really good. That is really good. So let me just say a couple things to help you make peace with this, okay? And some of you have a daily practice, and that's great. And the reason on your sadhana, the sadhana is your practice, right? I always give you a routine, just in case you want it. I'm not giving you the routine. And even if I say, please try to meditate every day, that's more of a reminder to do exactly what Lisa just said, which is what most of us do, which is, I mean, and actually I would rather you brought it into your life than you sat on your cushion and you perfected these techniques and then you got out there and you were an asshole. It's like, what good is that? Right. And I've just seen it too much where with practitioners who have a regular daily practice and they're very advanced intellectually, they know the sutras. They know they can quote the Gita. They understand. They know all the kriyas. They know. But are they nice? No. They're not nice. They're not attuned. And in the moment, they get upset and they send, you know, they, never mind. It's like, I know people like this. And it's like, that's not what we do. Kriyananda was really clear. The measure of your practice is how well are you getting along with the other people in your life. Period. Finish. The end. Did I have some emails from him saying, yes, you should meditate, you should breathe your kriya, blah, 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 every day? But only a couple. Only a couple out of all of them, right? It's about how long, that's the measure. And in our world right now, we are not in a monastery. We don't have the luxury of being away from all of the demands. Think of the demands, the responsibilities that come just from living in a room. Much less every one of you has either pets or people or you're coming out of relationship. It's complicated. And we have jobs and we have the whole 2021 world that we are dealing with. We're not in the jungle in Thailand where there's only 12 of us and we have the responsibilities around the ashram of what we do. And then we all sit together to meditate. We all go to the teaching from the teacher at the end of the day or in the middle of the day. That's not what the world, our life hasn't been structured around learning meditation. And I've said it before, and I'll just say it again, because I know these things need to be repeated. And some of you know David, he's the one who's taught the astrology class, and he's the one, he would just say, you know, you've already been in the ashram. You've already been in the monastery. You've done that training. You've probably even been in a cave up in the Himalayas. But then you had to test. What did you learn? So you have a lifetime like this. And it says, how well did I learn what it means not to be attached? How well did I learn what it means not to resist? How well did I learn to that everything is karma and the people are my lives are the bringers of my karma. They're just here to show the imbalance in my soul. It's not about them. How well did I learn this stuff? And it's like, you know, it's like, and then you come on here and you have a couple kids or you have just have a relationship, right? Boom. Oh, maybe I didn't really learn it. Maybe I understood it intellectually, but I don't have it in my DNA. I don't have it as part of my spiritual DNA. I understood it intellectually. How well can I apply it? And that's why, you know, my primary practice is Kriya Yoga, right? And that's where Goswami Kriyananda is, Kriya Yoga. Kriya means action. It's not about let's think about it. It's not about let's plan it. It's not about let me visualize it. It's not about let me even just sit. I mean, it is breathe your Kriya. But Hong Sa is your Kriya. It's about how well can I be and do in the world around me? What do I do when somebody yells at me? What do I do? When I have a thought, like April said, I have that thought. What do I do with that? Kriya, it's the action. What are we doing with it? So we are householders is a technical term for us. In other words, we're not in the monastery. We have households. We have jobs. We have families. We have friends. We have pets. Some of you have big pets like horses. Some of you have little pets like, you know, hamsters. And some, you know what I mean? This is the world. We are householders. We are living in the world and your life is your practice. And Lisa said it absolutely beautifully. It's that moment when there's a customer or a 17-year-old and you notice, whoa, that triggered me. And you make the conscious choice to act with kindness and notice your trigger at the same time. That's advanced practice. That's an advanced technique. Okay, so when I put it in the sadhana that this is your practice for the week, it's because I know some of you are doing that. Even if you just do it once a week, it's like, just can you do that progression? If you only do it with us in class, that's okay too. I'm not putting the pressure on you. I want you to live it. Does that help at all? Okay. So with that, let's do a practice. And let me minimize this so I can bring up this is the practice that I'm just asking you to do. And I'm going to I will guide us through it for now. So just find your seat. Do you have any idea how much my heart just smiles when I say find your seat and I see all of you adjusting your posture, getting your pillows right and then settling in, taking that time to find your seat?
I have to adjust my earbuds because when I relax my face and forehead, they fall out.
I feel you. Okay. Okay. So you keep your face just tight enough to keep those earbuds in. There we go. All right, folks, find your seat. Take that first deep breath. As you exhale, soften from your crown to your toes. Bring your attention into the heart center. We open by saying, O Great Spirit, saints and sages of all religions, all places, all times, and to our own precious Ishta Devata, we bow to you all. And we ask you from the depths of our being, from the depths of our being, to guide us and to help us sweep clear the obstacles on our path, and to lead us to that other shore of awareness. O ye powers that be, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. And let's just take a moment with that. Help us to awaken in all aspiring souls. That's not a call to get out there and evangelically start awakening people. It's a reminder that what we do for us, we do for others. What we do for others, we do for ourselves. So we say, help us to awaken in all, meaning that I am deeply, deeply connected. And if I want it just for me, just for me, it's not going to be as deep and rich and fulfilling as if I remember my connection. And it's like we talked about with the Dead Sea, right? The water goes in, it doesn't go out, everything dies. So we keep that gate open, we keep the portals open so it flows into us, flows out to others. And we enter the stream of life by saying, help us to awaken in all aspiring souls your eternal wisdom and unselfish love. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. And let's begin with a gentle resurrection breath. And as we come in, bring our head forward, let's move right into three-part breaths. Okay? Here we go. Inhale. And after that third exhale, just allow yourself to settle and soften and enjoy the after effect of just those few breaths. And then gently, gently bring your attention back to the breath. Even as you scan your body, looking for the place where right now you are experiencing the most tightness or tension or gripping or even aching. And when you find that spot, practice drawing the breath, directing the breath into that area and letting it soften and open. And as you exhale, exhale everything that isn't that softness, that openness, the warmth. Even if it was just a molecule's worth, focus on that. And do a few more of these breaths, breathing in soft, warm, spacious opening, holding onto that awareness and exhaling everything, releasing everything that is not spacious and open. then after your next exhale, release the technique. Just rest for a moment. And then softening the body completely, crown to toe, with your next exhale. After that, let's move into 3 rounds of sipping breath. And then gently bringing your attention back to the breath. Begin to engage Ujjayi breath by just gently contracting the throat and feeling that sense that the breath is being drawn in by that energy of the heart center. All of the love that life has for you is pouring itself into you, and your heart is drinking it in. And as you exhale, keep that gentle contraction in the throat and give yourself back with that exhale. And today, for us, go ahead and elongate Ujjayi breath in a way that feels comfortable to you. You don't need to do the short ones we've been doing in class. Ujjayi breath trains us to elongate, lengthen the breath. And the key thing is, if it starts to get choppy or uneven, it means you're going too slow, and bring your count back. So count. Just count and see what you can do easily and gently. Let's each do one more breath and then release the technique. And now let's all just slip into Hong Sa. We're going to breathe Hong Sa for about 2 more minutes. So know that there's just 2 more minutes. Bring your mind back again and again, either to the mantra, to the sun center, to the breath, sensations in your nostrils or your chest. But see if you can completely surrender. Surrender and let the breath breathe you. 2 minutes. Just do 2 more. two more Hong Sa, and then as you release the technique, release into a place of stillness in the body and awareness of the experience. And now inhale joy. Exhale contentment. And again, inhale joy. Exhale contentment. And like, if you're feeling any joy at all, you know, you want to let your face know. Let your face know, right? That's how we change these patterns. So let's inhale joy. And exhale contentment. And I'm going to close with the Sarvesha mantra. And if you want to chant along with me, if you know it, please do. If not, just listen. We all know what it means by now. Sarvesham svastir bhavatu. Sarvesham shantir bhavatu. Sarvesham purnam bhavatu. Sarvesham mangalam bhavatu. Om shanti, shanti, shanti. And then whenever you're ready, no rush. Just gently move the body, wiggle the toes, the fingers, stretch a little bit. So let me look for these things here. So before we go to the next thing, I'm going to tell you a story. Now you all have heard this story, and I didn't write this story up because I wasn't going to share it, but it came to me during meditation. It just, thought came in. And when a thought like that comes in, you know, we call it an insight, right? It's an opening. It's an insight. And what you are gaining the skill to do is to have that insight come and go, and then remember it afterwards, right? In the beginning, you need to write them down, right? And that's preferable to trying to breathe Hong Sa and go, okay, I can't forget that. I can't forget it. I got to remember that, right? So, but the day will come where an insight will come up in your meditation. It just comes up so clearly and it's like, oh, okay. But we want to listen to them. Those are guidance points, right? And so here, this is what came to me. And it was literally just flash in a flash, right? Flash was, you guys remember this story, right? About there was the monastery, and they had heard tell of a monk on a faraway island who was doing the technique all wrong. All wrong. And so they sent somebody out. There are lots of versions of this story. So they sent one of their most, you know, adept monks, lamas, whatever you want to call them, to the island to go correct this guy, to teach him the correct way to do it. So he gets to the island and he sees the guy and he says, okay, can you do your om for me? And the guy goes, om. And the guy goes, okay, all right. They told me about this. So we just wanted, I came here just specifically to let you know you're not quite doing it right. I'm not. Oh my gosh. Okay. Yes. Please. Would you show me how to do it right? Absolutely. That's what I came for. Okay. You go, om. Can you try it? The guy goes, om. No. Om. Okay. Oh. Yep. Om. Om. You got it. Om. I got it. Okay. Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for teaching me this. And the monk gets in his boat and he starts rowing away and he's feeling so self-satisfied. And what a good deed he's done, right? He has corrected this technique for this young monastic or old monastic, whatever it was. And he's paddled away and in the distance, he sees something moving on the water. He's like, what? And he looks and it's the monk running to him on the water, running to him going, wait. I can't remember. Can you remind? I forgot. How does it go? At which point the man in the boat said, never mind. Never mind. And that story came up to me because it's like, think of yourself as the one sitting on the island and everyone coming up to you going, no. You're supposed to get up at 4 a.m. and meditate for an hour before you start your day. No. You're supposed to sit down for 20 minutes before you go to bed at night and meditate. You have to do that. That's the right way to do it. And you go, whoa, okay. And then they start paddling away and they run into a boat and that boat hits them. They start yelling at the person in the boat. What the fuck are you doing? What are you bumping into me? And you come running out on the water going, it's okay. It's okay. Hey, it's okay. We can make this work. If you're the person in your life, somebody bumps your boat. Ooh, I bet got a better one. In the future, I'm going to use our rowing our boats down our stream. Oh shit. Okay. Wait, redo. Okay. You're rowing down the stream next to this guy going, okay, I'm going to start meditating at 4 a.m. And somebody hits that other guy's boat and your boat. And you sit there and you go, oh, no big deal. You okay? You're right. Okay. No big deal. Okay. And you keep rowing. And the other person is going, one who came to you going, meditate at 4 a.m. Meditate before you go to bed. And they're the one going, that motherfucker hit my boat. Look, they put a dent in it. Oh my gosh. And you know, rah, rah, rah. And for the next 3 miles downstream, rah, rah, rah. Who do you want to be? Right? If it's working, if you're using it in your day, that's what works for you right now. What I want to remind you is some of you, it's your nature will allow for a daily practice. Your nature will. There are people who literally, Kriyananda would say this all the time, just get up 20 minutes early, get up 10 minutes early and meditate. It was like, there was no fucking way I could get up 10 minutes earlier. Not with 4 kids and everything going. There was no way. It was not in my nature, right? And so if it's your nature to do that, great. Absolutely great. But if it's not in your nature, then hold on to this thought. It used to be they said that, I think they said there were 4 stages in life. Somebody might remember this if I've got this wrong. But you're a child. You're a child. You're a student. You're studying. And then you're a householder with a career where you are working and you are supporting yourself and your family. And then you become the old, the elder. And that's when you get to meditate and study, is when all of this other stuff is done. So each one of you are trying to do what in a more traditional context was, say, for people after they were 60 years old. You know, after they had raised their kids and they had had their career and now their kids were having kids and they had time to do this. Okay. So if that helps, hopefully this has helped a little bit. Any thoughts, any comments? Do you feel better? Do you feel like you can be you and be human? All right. Okay. Well then, okay. So that's what came to the meditation. But I'm liking this now. Now the new analogy is going to be we're rowing downstream and somebody came over to us in our boat and said, you're not doing it right. You need to be doing it this way. And it turns out you're doing it just fine. You're doing it just fine.
I was going to say, Karen, that like when you, I've always loved the rowboat, you know, rowing your own boat.
And that's Kriyananda, right? That's Shelley to Kriyananda. He said it was the most, that's not me. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. Yeah. Okay.
But like when I picture that analogy, it's so peaceful. It's so, it just like settles me. And as you were talking about it, you know, kind of morphing the two stories together, I was picturing that the person hitting my boat is myself. Like I'm knocking my own boat around, you know, like, and now I'm like, I'm trying to paddle upstream and I'm like, so that's how I envisioned that scenario of me rowing my boat, that I'm like every once in a while, I might hit some rapids or something and I'm like trying to straighten my boat and I'm like, oh shit, you know, and I'm like, I'm in troubled waters. I'm going to stick with that analogy because it's working for me that, I kind of knock my own boat around sometimes.
You know, I have to say, this is one of the things I love about you guys. It's like even yesterday in the class, you guys were taking it to a whole nother level. Right away. It was really very, very, very cool. And, you know, this whole idea that I want to blame the world for, it's like, you guys aren't there. You guys are really moving into that place where you're seeing that it's in you. It's in your thought patterns. It's, and what April just said. And it's just, and I don't mean 100% of the time, you know, that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for just a, you know, but you guys are more than just chinked it. You're swimming now in a new stream. It's really, I can't even tell you some of the responses yesterday. My whole being went, oh my God, well done. Yeah. So, okay. So we got a lot of things I wanted to do, but I think what I'd like to do is to just right now, just open it up for questions. Open it up for questions, either on any of the techniques we just did together. Because certainly, I mean, I didn't talk through them, but as I'm doing through, I'm going, okay, is their breath smooth? Are they making sure to relax their body in the holds so that the holds are soft? When we rest in between, are they checking in to make sure that the jaw is soft, the shoulders soft? Oh, okay. Ujjayi breath. What are they discovering? Because what I want to do is make sure that we've got the basics of these techniques and just the basics, right? Because next term, what we want to work around is that we're going to learn holds. We're going to learn the three holds, the root hold, the stomach hold, and the throat hold. And when you add the Mula Bandha and Uddiyana Bandha to a pranayama, it's great. And it's nothing, it's hard to teach it in a class because people come in and go in, come and go in. And some of you remember, I used to say, if you know Uddiyana Bandha, if you know Mula Bandha, engage it. But there's a point where you don't want to be exclusionary, right? And you know, at the same time, you don't want to stop every four classes and teach Mula Bandha. Although it's great because it gives everybody a huge, great laugh, right? Everybody loves it. Well, I think it's funny. I don't know if they love it, but they do laugh a lot. But we want you to know it. And so when we move into the summer series, that's one, we're going to be working with the energy body, with the chakras. And that's the time to introduce the bandhas. And so we're going to take these pranayamas and bring these bandhas into them. So you'll be really clear. Oh, okay. This one I can breathe deep into my belly. Oh no, this one I want to keep it up in my chest because I've gotten these holds engaged, right? But so part of your homework is, let me share this with you, which is, and this is all comes back to the question. Do you have questions? But your homework is like this. You've got, you're reading, right? I'm going to ask you to read an autobiography. Okay. And the Spiritual Science of Kriyananda, that's one of the books I'm going to asking you to purchase if you don't have it already. I may have a few used copies.
Okay.
I may have one or two. And then continue reading. Just read chapters 14 and 15 from Pema on Tonglen. Okay. So these are the new book that you want to get is Spiritual Science of Kriya Yoga. If you don't have it already, at some point, if you could read chapters 14 and 15 of Pema, they're just beautiful. And then I'm going to be asking you to read an autobiography, read an autobiography. One of these four. Freedom in Exile is the Dalai Lama's story, and it's kind of sweet because you see his humanity, right? Autobiography of, and Freedom, oh, you know, last week, did I tell you this all last week? Did I show you all the books last week?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay. Freedom, and it's an easy read, right? Autobiography Yogi is a longer, denser read. I mean, it's kind of fascinating. It's a little fascinating, to be honest, but it is the longest of the books. But so 10% Happier is more current, and Surrender Experiment is, it's just a great book, and it's got a bit more of the idea of surrender. So if surrender is something that you're struggling with or working with, this would be a great book for that. So what? Agnieszka, what?
I bought this book a few months ago, and today during meditation, I was having a really rough morning, and then you said that one word during Hong So, surrender, and I was like, oh my God, this is it. And now when you said it, I'm like, well, I guess I do need it. I wrote down in my journal. So thank you for confirming.
Lovely how life works that way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So it's a month off, but I mean, you know, this is hopefully going to be enjoyable reading, and literally just thumbing through Kriyananda's book, for many of you, it will feel like, what the fuck? Whoa. It'll be like, I don't know what he's talking about. Some of you, it'll be like, oh my God, I read this a few years ago. Karen said to get the book and I didn't get it. And now I do. It'll be kind of fun but there's a lot of great information in there. It's kind of more like almost like a resource. A reference book that you will have for the rest of your life. I've given you two videos to watch and outline the explanation of Tonglen and the loving kindness blessing, and then these meditations to just kind of, if you want to, just a few times to just. I don't know how much we're going to get to Tonglen today, but to just kind of, that's the next step of where we want to be going is is with into Tonglen a little bit. So I'm not speaking well. Okay. But anyway, here's why I want you to ask questions. This is one of the things I'm going to ask you to do is I've given you a bunch of questions here. Okay. It's a few pages. And the idea is for you to fill this out and you'll bring it to the retreat with you, right? When you go through each of these, can you easily do them? Do you feel fluent in them? Do you understand them? And, you know, as you get to, when I say find your seat, what does it mean to you? Write down for me. What does it mean to you? How do you do it? Do you have a meditation spot or spots? Or are you doing it on the go during the day? But, you know, this isn't an exam where you have to write every sentence perfectly. Just jot your notes. But what does become present mean to you? What is, when you use a book for intuitive guidance, how do you do it? There's an opening of invocation. Do you have it memorized yet? Have you translated, adapted for yourself? Are you communicating with your Ishta? Have you found her? You know, it's just kind of a, where are we with this? Actually, I would rather not wait to the retreat. What would be nice is if you can do these and either scan them and send them to me or just take photos and send them to me at some point. We're going to have some one-on-ones. And so maybe before the one-on-one, it would be nice if you could have this done. And then we go through the pranayamas. Do you understand? I want to know that you understand each of these techniques. And if you have any questions before we move into set two, just the body scan. In other words, if it's kind of just going over what we've done this term, not including Tonglen. And then what we did in class, how would you describe a sensation? What's the nature of thought? How would you describe the nature of an emotion? It's just, there's no right answer. I just want to know that you've got some thought about these things, that you have some, and if there's confusion, then we want to know that so we can talk about it. Okay. So it's just stuff to think about. Yeah. Kathleen.
Is this a time to ask these questions?
Yes.
Okay. Because the one that I'm struggling with verbiage for is, and even pronouncing it is Ujjayi. Is it Ujjayi breath?
Well, I don't pronounce Sanskrit really great. If somebody else in here has a better pronunciation, then please correct me. But I have confusion. I know it's Ujjayi. Then I don't know if it ends with an I or an A or an AI, because I've seen it all different ways. Krinanda ends it with an A. Everybody else ends it with an I. So I don't know. So I just call it Ujjayi breath. Let's ask Agnieszka. Agnieszka, what do you call it?
I call it like you, Ujjayi.
Ujjayi. How do you spell it?
I don't know. There are so many different versions, but something like Ujjayi, A. I end it with an I.
You end it with an I?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back to an I because I was doing A because I was trying to stay with Kriyananda's books, but everywhere else is with an I. So even with some, you know, I look around and I'll see Ujjayi breath with some of the big Hindu teachers right now or yoga teachers, and they spell with an I. So, yeah.
So the hard thing when I'm doing these like thinking of verbal words that I would use to describe it, though, I'm having a hard time because all I can think of is Darth Vader, and it doesn't seem like the best.
when you
meditate.
No, it is. And it caught on. I think this might have been in the 90s or maybe it started in the 80s, whatever, but it caught on because it was being done in yoga classes, and it was such a quick, easy way to get it across to people how to contract the throat. And everyone's into Star Wars, right? So we've got Darth Vader, but you've got rooms of people doing yoga going, I can't even do it. Anyway, I don't have to do it. You guys know what I mean. You breathe in and it's like, I can't do it anymore. Cause that's how I first learned it was Darth Vader breath, right? Mm-hmm. It was before I started studying with Kriyananda, and I felt so accomplished because I could make the sound. And then I realized, oh, it's not about that. And then I started, studying through the temple, the subtleties of the breath, feeling the coolness rotating at the back of the throat, starting to be aware of the warmth. It's like, when you do that, it's like there's an opening. I learned that there were bandhas you could do with it. I learned, and then I went to Agnieszka sponsored this workshop at the temple with, what was his name? That guy, the Iyengar guy?
Oh my God.
Kim.
Kim Schwartz? Yeah.
No, it wasn't Kim. It was the other guy.
Yes. Gabriel Halpern.
Yes. And this guy's been teaching Iyengar for decades. I mean, he was a really big biggie in the yoga world and very charismatic. Ramon, did you ever go to one of his things there?
No.
Okay. Well, he's just like his own thing, right? He's a big personality. He knows his stuff. Well, I'm in there because I was visiting doing workshops or something, and Agnieszka said I could go. And he has the room do pranayama. And he has them do ujjayi breath. And there was just sound in the room. It wasn't even ujjayi breath like I'd been teaching it, which I could still hear it. There was literally not a sound. And I was like, what the fuck? What are they doing? And so it took me deeper into ujjayi breath. And I realized, oh my gosh, there's a whole nother level, which is where we're going to go in the summer, where it's about literally, let me see if I can describe it. I realized that ujjayi breath is about the heart drawing the breath. It's literally drawing the breath. There's so much more ease and it's a very quiet stillness, and that's real control of the breath. So the way we were teaching it was, yes, it's called victory, but victorious breath, because you're gaining control of the breath. You can learning to elongate it, lengthen it and keep it smooth. It's beautiful and calming. But when you move that, not from here, but from here, and you're breathing, it's like my heart is drawing the breath in and my heart is exhaling the breath. It's a whole different experience. And it is, I mean, I can hear it, but nobody else could hear it. Agnieszka, do you have more to add on that? Because you've learned it with Kim, so Kim might even have more to add.
So what I've learned from the very beginning is that this constriction in the throat is not done by contracting. It shows up because of a deep, deep, deep release of the tongue and the throat and the soft palate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And
but that happens. Mm-hmm. And this, we will talk about this at the retreat. I will do a special session just with you guys at the retreat to show you this. But that happens because the breath is breathing from the heart. And if you are released and the heart is drawing the breath in, all those three things Agnieszka said, which she teaches in her yoga class, when you do that, it's like the heart is free to bring the breath in. And that's what naturally happens when the breath is coming from here. So I would say exactly, it's like Agnieszka gave you the map. These are the steps to open to it. I learned it from the other side, which is if my heart is doing the breathing and everything else is released, deep release, like you just said, it's what naturally happens. Would that be a way to say it, Agnieszka?
I think so. Yes. I mean, I'm waiting for that release to happen, because it's like you said, it takes months, years.
but it does happen.
But that's because of that release. I mean, or the other way around. That's how I was taught.
Well, this is what we'll talk about. And believe me, please, somebody, if I forget to go here at the retreat with you guys, somebody remind me. But the point is that my experience has taught me that everything Hatha Yoga teaches us came from something the energy body does naturally. But we don't know how to let it do it. So instead, we do these postures, these poses that mimic what is going on energetically. But the impetus is actually internal. And so I'll demonstrate that for you at the retreat. So, okay. So that was a bit of a segue, but Ujjayi breath, Kathleen, yes, it is confusing. Darth Brader is an easy place to start. It was quick connection. People could do it. Next step, go ahead and contract. Most people contract way at the top. Little by little, you will contract little down. But as Agnieszka said, it's by doing it that you discover it. And I don't, and so start finding the sound. Start by just finding that you can slow down the breath. Start by finding the air rotating at the back. Because if you're feeling the air rotating, you're doing what Agnieszka said. You are releasing the tongue, releasing the back of the throat, releasing the soft palate. Those are the three, right, Agnieszka? Yeah. Yeah.
Release the tongue, the soft palate. What was the third one?
The back of the throat.
The throat.
Okay. So you're releasing the tongue, the back of the throat, and the soft palate. And maybe what we can do is have, it's 8:45, we're going to go for a break. Agnieszka, would you be willing to guide them? Is it possible to guide them without putting us in those, in postures to what it means to release the tongue deep like you had us do?
I mean, we can try. I mean, I can say it and see what happens.
And see what happens. Let's try that before we go to break then. Because what Agnieszka is showing you is we start with all those techniques, right? Contract the top of the throat. Feel like you're whispering. Breathe in through the mouth. Find it. But all of that is leading, is to get you attuned to the sensation, the sound, the feeling, so that you can take it deeper and deeper and explore it to get to where Agnieszka is about to take us. So let's try it. Agnieszka, if you're willing.
Okay.
That would be lovely. That was just profound when you did that in class with us.
So I don't know. Do you want to lay down or sit up? Because you can lay down. That might be easier to relax.
Let's, if you guys, can people lay down? How about if you can lay down, because that's how she taught it to us. And it works beautifully. If you're not in a place to lay down, then just stay seated.
And just
have, does that sound good?
If you're laying down, have some support under your head. So your chin is just slightly lower than your forehead. So you're not lifting the chin up. That's the only thing that you want to just notice.
So in other words, put a blanket, a pillow, a shirt, a book, put something under the back of your, the moon center. Yeah.
And bend your knees. That's it. So it's just easier with knees bent.
And should they put the knees together if they need to so that they can rest them or just bend them?
Yes, if you can, you can have your feet wider than your hips, and if the knees effortlessly join, just allow them to join.
And now we can't see anybody, Agnieszka. This is so fascinating. Okay, we're going to assume everybody's ready. Hand up saying we're good. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Beautiful. Okay. So just start by allowing your body to relax. Just feel the support underneath you, receiving the weight of your body. Surrender to gravity. Feel that you're being held. And then in a very gentle way, connect with your breath, just noticing your exhalations. And with each exhalation, allowing your body to release its weight into that support underneath you. Your feet, your buttocks, your entire back, your arms, the back of the head are heavy. Let your body soften, let the breath soften, and be somewhat passive. You're just kind of riding the breath, giving a little bit more attention to your exhalations and that softening and letting go. And then bring your awareness to the tongue and allow the tongue to release away from the roof of the mouth, away from your teeth, and let the tongue rest towards the bottom of your mouth. And then go even deeper if you can, without struggling there. Feel the root of the tongue releasing down into your throat, and use one of your hands gently touching the point, the clavicular notch, the point where your collarbones join. There's a little indentation. And right, so into that point, right below it, release the root of the tongue. Let it release all the way down there. Just soften the tongue. And as this happens, you may already notice that there is a little bit more space in the back of the mouth. Imagine that you're creating that smile way in the back of your mouth. And this will also begin to open the back of the throat. And then bring your awareness to the roof of the mouth. And you can even use your tongue to feel the roof of the mouth. And as you slide your tongue from the front of the roof of the mouth, go through the hard part, and then all the way up and back there, it becomes soft. And this is the soft palate. And even just by curling your tongue like this, back and up, as if you wanted to touch the soft palate, you'll feel that the soft palate rises upward. It domes upward. So there's this additional space opening up, soft palate lifting up towards the crown of your head. And then relax your tongue. So the tongue relaxes down towards the bottom of the mouth, root of the tongue towards that clavicular notch. The soft palate rises upward at the same time, and feel how these two releasing away from each other create that sense of space and openness in the back of your throat. You may even feel ear canals releasing, supporting the openness of the throat even deeper. And just notice if with this deep release of the tongue, the throat, and the soft palate, you can hear that sound of the ocean as you breathe. Maybe another minute just exploring the root of the tongue releasing down, the soft palate doming upward, inviting the throat and the back of the mouth to open and deeply, deeply release. Feeling the breath moving through the back of the throat. and gently release any doing there might be doing involved. Go back to a passive soft breath. And I guess slowly roll onto the right side, but don't fall off the couch if you're on the couch. So just somehow come up.
Wow. That was awesome.
Oh, good. Well,
I really felt that the back of my throat, actually, that the way the expansion contraction part of it was very, yeah. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
That was, it would just finally, that clicked with it, and it didn't seem so hard. I felt like before I was always struggling to do it and was feeling almost claustrophobic. Mm. And that was more relaxing in that sense.
I felt the same way. Like I've always loved this technique. But I've spent so much time and effort in the throat, concentrating on, you know, almost contracting the throat to get the sound. Yeah. And doing it this way was like, oh, I've never released that way before in the throat. And not that I was skeptical, but I've been doing it this one way for so long. That thought, how can I get that ocean sounding breath when everything is open? And it totally worked. It was like amazing. So thank you. That was great.
Yeah. Thank you, Agnieszka. That was beautiful. And if some of you, if you didn't get it, if you didn't quite experience it, it's a matter of practice. It's just a matter of practice. And, but I'm thinking now, I think I may just, you know, you teach the way you were taught, right? But yeah. I'm looking at this going, maybe I need to really just even rethink how I teach it. Yeah, Lisa.
Is it possible to have like everybody donate a dollar and have her do that and have it recorded so we can do that again?
We can just, like, we can edit that out. We can edit that little section out and make it available as a separate meditation.
Well, you know, okay, we want her to get the royalties.
Oh, no. Thank you, Lisa. That's totally fine. I'm happy it's helpful. I mean, I'm grateful to my teachers, you know, for teaching me. I really, yeah. So
what we'll do is if it's okay, Agnieszka, and it sounds like it is, I'll ask Evan to edit this little section out so we can put it as a separate file for you. On your page, and you can, once you get to your page, Lisa, yeah. And then you can find it and practice with it. Yeah. It was revelatory to me when she had us do it in that yoga class. I was like, I mean, cause it's not that I haven't experienced that, but I'd never had anybody guide me into it as beautifully as Agnieszka did. It was just so perfect. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And one last thought that, I follow Jack Kornfield, and, he just, like, I don't know, a couple days ago, maybe yesterday, he just released a video. There was no words. It was just a short video clip of showing like from a bird's eye view, ocean waves. And I was like, well, what is this? There's no words. There's no context, nothing. And I just clicked it. I'm like, oh my God, I know what this is. It was really cool. Yeah.
Actually, just saying though, Jack Kornfield is out of Vipassana, and that's not a pranayama tradition. So, but it shows you the.
I don't know if he did why he did it, but as soon as it.
Calm?
Yeah.
Probably just the calm, yeah.
It was like ujjayi breath.
Yeah. Nice. Nice. Well, what time is it, folks? Oh, do we want to? Yeah. Let's take a short break. Let's do 10 minutes. We're right on the hour. Why don't we come back at 10 minutes after? And let's take a little bit of time for some questions. The thing I just showed you is already up on your page for, we, Darcy posted it, before she went on vacation. So it's there if you want to take a peek at it. But mostly, I just, it's questions about any of the techniques we've done, like Kathleen had about Ujjayi breath, or just any questions. Let's take some time for that since we're going to have a break for a bit. Just some time for some questions. Does that sound good? All right. Okay. Steve, I just got to say, of all your backgrounds, that one's my favorite. Because when you're sitting right in the center of the aisle, it looks literally, it's such a Gemini shot, right? All of this books, all of this intellectual, whoomp, coming right out of his head. It's just a perfect Gemini backdrop. So it's my favorite of all of them. Okay.
I'm not seeing it on the website.
Go to the June 14th, or what is today's class, June 13th?
I know it didn't load.
If you go to the content for today, and then, yeah, everybody else, go take your break. Go take your break. You don't need to waste your break doing this. I was just there, Lisa, so I know it's there.
Okay. I have an automatic link, and so sometimes I have to go to it twice for it to load up on my automatic link. I don't know. It's happened before. Okay, I just saw it. I'm going to print that out right now. I'm trying to hang on to this class. Like, my hair is blowing back. My knuckles are white, and I'm just trying to hang on.
Lisa, I can tell you this, that there's something with the site. I'm in IT, so I can tell you there's something with the caching of the page. Sometimes I get the old stuff too. And I actually sent an email at the very beginning because I was getting last year's class. So there's something on the server that's caching an old version of the site or something. And some folks are getting that site and some folks are getting another. So it's nothing. I've seen it because I've tried it on my phone, and then I go to my computer and it's fine on some objects. It's fine, not on others. But it eventually corrects itself. But you see stuff that's not, that you shouldn't see, or you see stuff that it was past stuff. And so it's just something with the caching. It's caching is what it's called in IT. It's something with the caching on the server.
No, Ramon, we are having so much trouble with it. And I mean, I have to, even when I'm trying to upload content, I have to clear the cache.
Yeah.
Every two or three times. And I've gone to my webmaster. She's gone to the guy who handles all that stuff. They haven't figured out. If you have any insight, I can send to them because it's a problem.
Yeah. I'll talk to some guys on the inside because it's probably something very simple. It's probably a setting somewhere on the server.
Exactly.
You're part of the matrix.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, guys on the inside. Wow.
I'm going to get the guy who knows the zero and the one, and I'm going to talk to that guy.
Oh, Ramon, I would so appreciate that because it's a problem and we know it and they haven't been able to figure it out.
Yeah. I'll talk to some guys and see what they know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. Go get some food, Ramon. I know it's your lunch break.